Ganymede and the Eagle. In the northwest corner of Asia Minor, there lay a kingdom called Troad, or Troy, in honor of its ruler, Tros. Troy looked across the Aegean Sea westwards to mainland Greece. Behind it lay the whole of what is now Turkey and the ancient lands to the east. To the north were the Dardanelles and Gallipoli, and to the south the great island of Lesbos. The principal city, Ilium, which was to become known simply as the City of Troy, derived its name from Ilos, the eldest son of Tros, and his queen, Calliroe, a daughter of the local river god Scamander. Of the royal couple's second boy, Assaracus, little is recorded, but it was their third son, Ganymede, who took the eye, and indeed the breath, of all who encountered him. No more beautiful youth had ever lived and moved upon the earth than this Prince Ganymede. His hair was golden, his skin like warm honey, his lips a soft, sweet invitation to lose yourself in mad and magical kisses. Girls and women of all ages had been known to scream and even to faint when he looked at them. Men, who had never in all their lives considered the appeal of their own sex, found their hearts hammering, the blood surging and pounding in their ears when they caught sight of him. Their mouths would go dry, and they found themselves stammering foolish nonsense and saying anything to try to please him or attract his attention. When they got home, they wrote and instantly tore up poems that rhymed thighs with eyes, hips with lips, youth with truth, boy with joy, and desire with fire. Unlike many born with the awful privilege of beauty, Ganymede was not sulky, petulant, or spoiled. His manners were charming and unaffected. When he smiled, the smile was kind, and his amber eyes were lit with a friendly warmth. Those who knew him best said that his inner beauty matched or even exceeded his outer. Had he not been a prince, it is likely that more fuss would have been made of his startling looks, and his life would have been made impossible. But because he was the favored son of a great ruler, no one dared try to seduce him, and he lived a blameless life of horses, music, sport, and friends. It was supposed that one day King Tros would pair him off with a Grecian princess, and he would grow into a handsome and virile man. Youth is a fleeting thing, after all. They had reckoned without the king of the gods. Whether Zeus had heard rumours of this shining beacon of youthful beauty, or whether he accidentally caught sight of him, isn't known. What is a matter of record is that the god became simply maddened with desire. Despite the royal lineage of this important mortal, despite the scandal it would cause, despite the certain fury and jealous rage of Hera, Zeus turned himself into an eagle, swooped down, seized the boy in his talons, and flew him up to Olympus. It was a terrible thing to do, but surprisingly enough, it turned out to be more than an act of wanton lust. It really did seem to have something to do with real love. Zeus adored the boy and wanted to be with him always. Their acts of physical love only reinforced his adoration. He gave him the gift of immortality and eternal youth, and appointed him to be his cupbearer. From now until the end of time, he would always be the Ganymede whose beauty of form and soul had so smitten the god. All the gods, with the inevitable exception of Hera, welcomed the youth to heaven. It was impossible not to like him. His presence lit up Olympus. Zeus dispatched Hermes to King Tros with a gift of divine horses to recompense the family for their loss. "Your son is a welcome and beloved addition to Olympus," Hermes told him. "He will never die, and unlike any mortal, his outward beauty will always match his inner, which will mean that he will always be content. The Sky Father loves him completely." Well, the King and Queen of Troy had two other sons, and they really were the finest gift horses in all the world, not to be looked in the mouth. And if their Ganymede were to be a permanent member of the immortal Olympian company, and if Zeus really did love him? But did the boy adore Zeus? That is so hard to know. The ancients believed he did. He is usually represented as smiling and happy. He became a symbol of that particular kind of same-sex love which was to become so central a part of Greek life. His name, it seems, was a kind of deliberate wordplay, deriving as it did from Ganumai, gladdening, and Midon, prince, and or Midion, genitals. Ganymede, the gladdening prince with the gladdening genitals, became twisted over time into the word catamite. Zeus and Ganymede stayed together as a happy couple for a very long time. Of course, the god was as unfaithful to Ganymede as he was to his own wife, but they became almost a fixture, nonetheless. When the reign of the gods was coming to an end, Zeus rewarded this beautiful youth, his devoted minion, lover, and friend, by sending him up into the sky as a constellation, in the most important part of the heavens, the zodiac, where he shines still as Aquarius, the cupbearer.